We'll bow together just for a moment or two in prayer again, seeking the Lord just for His anointing upon the Word as it goes forth this morning. Father, we thank You for the blessing of being here. We pray we'll have the experience of Mary that will sit today at Your feet and hear Your Word. We want to pray You'll settle our hearts, close us in with Thyself. We pray, Father, just now take away every distracting thought. We pray that we'll be attentive to Your Word. We ask Thee to give us ears to hear those things that the Spirit would say unto us today. Answer these our prayers and our cries. We offer them to Thee in Jesus' name. Amen. The verse 22, please, of that 55th Psalm that we read together just a little earlier is the words of our text this morning. We pray it will be a blessing and a comfort and encouragement to many hearts in the service today. Psalm 55, verse 22. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and He shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. I want to speak to you for a few minutes on the encouraging subject of the burdens of the believer. The fact, men and women, is that Christians have burdens. There's not a doubt about that. And that is especially true of the Lord's servant. We'd encourage you to think of that and to remember that even with regard to the ministers of the congregation here. This world in which we are found, in which we live day by day, is a world of burden bearing. And those burdens, even for the child of God, can at times be many, they can be manifold. And at times the burdens that we're called to carry can be very heavy burdens indeed. Those burdens come from all aspects of life. Sometimes the burdens you carry come from situations, circumstances in your home and in your family. Maybe the burdens that you're facing come from the workplace or business life. Maybe you're carrying a heavy burden today because of your bodily ailment, some weakness, some sickness, some ailment that you have to bear from day to day. Sometimes the burdens that God's people carry come from bereavement, the taking away of a loved one, a family member, those who have been near and dear to us for many years. And even burdens come from broken relationships, and how sad and difficult and painful those situations can be. And it's true there's even burdens that come from the work of God. Those who are in office, those that are in leadership positions in the house of God will be able to testify to that. Paul spoke about the care of all the churches. We could testify that the care of one church is sufficient without all the others added to it. So I want you to understand life is full of burdens. And those burdens come from all different aspects of life. And as we read this Psalm 55, one of the things that we learn from it is that David had a burden. And that is something, brethren and sisters, that should encourage our hearts today. Sometimes we mistakenly imagine that men like David lived on a different spiritual plane from us. In a sense, lived in a different world. That they didn't face all the difficulties and all the problems and all the struggles that you and I have to face. But that is untrue. Wrong for us to think like that. Remember the words that are recorded of Elijah. He was a man subject to life-like passions as we are. All the struggles and all the burdens of life, all the emotions that are common to us, they knew all about them as well. So I want you to see that David had a burden. And part of that burden came from a situation within his own family. His own son, Absalom, had rebelled against him. That's the setting of this 55th Psalm. And I'd like you to think about that. How difficult, how heavy a burden, how crushing a blow that must have been for David. His own son Absalom had rebelled against him, took the throne, took the kingdom. And his own friend and trusted advisor Ahithophel had betrayed him. We could say of David of the truth that he was a man who had been wounded in the house of his friends. David had a burden. Now you think for a moment of all the things that you're tempted to do when you have a heavy burden to carry. In a sense, these things are a message in themselves. Sometimes we're tempted to try to carry the burdens in our own strength, but we're not able to do that. It's good to realise and acknowledge that. You're not able, in the power of the flesh, to carry the burdens of life yourself. Sometimes you're tempted to quit and to give up. Maybe you hold a position. Maybe you're involved in some ministry, some outreach of the church. But because of all that is happening, all that you and your family have been passing through, you think it's time to quit. That's the outlook. That's the thoughts that's in your mind. Sometimes we're tempted to complain. At the very beginning of this psalm, David says, he talks about my complaint. I mourn in my complaint. The idea there is different from how we use the word complaint. But the reality is, who can complain? Who can murmur? Who can criticise like the people of God? That's a spirit we need to guard against, brethren and sisters. It causes division, causes discord, and it grieves the Spirit of the Lord. Sometimes as well, when burdens come and we feel that we can't cope with a situation, we want to run away. The words of that sixth verse, "Oh, that I had wings like a dove, for then I would fly away and be at rest." And maybe that's just how you feel. You want to get away. Maybe you just, the situation is so bad you'd like to get out of the country. Maybe move to some other place. Move away to some other land. Go to the far country. And how many have felt like that at certain times in their lives? Sometimes when the burdens come, it can get so bad you want your life to end. Do you remember Elijah sitting down under the juniper tree away down there in the most southern part of Israel, and he wished for himself that he might die? And maybe there's a brother, a sister in the meeting this morning, and you're under the juniper tree. And that's exactly how you feel. You've got to the point where you just want your life to end. You want the Lord to take you from this scene of time. Something else that as Christians we're tempted to do when burdens come is that we wish evil upon the people that we think are responsible for all our troubles and for all our trials. Look at verse 15. "Let death seize upon them, and let them go down quick into hell." And if we're honest, there's times those sort of feelings and those sort of thoughts well up within our hearts. We wish the judgment of God upon certain people. We wish something terrible would happen. Maybe even an awful illness might befall them. Those are things we need to guard, particularly guard our heart against, brethren and sisters. And maybe you've been tempted as you think of your situation, the burdens you're carrying, and the things that I have listed and outlined. Maybe you've been tempted to do one or more, maybe all of those things in the past. Let me make this clear to you, brethren and sisters. That's what not to do with the burdens of life, or when you're carrying the heavy burdens of life. What I want us to consider from this psalm for a little while this morning is a more positive outlook and a more positive aspect of this subject, and that is what you should do with life's burdens. What you're commanded by the Lord himself and his word to do when you're called upon to carry a heavy burden in this world and in this life. And I pray that as we think of that subject, it might be a help to you. The reality is our text, Psalm 55 verse 22, gives us the answer. If you're carrying a heavy burden here today, and I'm sure that's true of some, if not many in this meeting, if you have a heavy burden weighing down upon your life and upon your heart and upon your home, maybe a burden that no one knows anything about. Maybe nobody else in this meeting. Maybe it's only something that is between you and the Lord. Only the Lord himself knows, apart from yourself. Maybe it's a burden today and you've been crushed under the weight of it. Such is the heaviness of that burden that you're called upon to bear. Well, if that is your situation, I want you to see that this text of Scripture tells you what to do with it as a child of God. This text of Scripture tells you how to cope, how to deal with those sort of situations and those sort of circumstances. Notice, first of all, as we think of the burdens of the believer and what to do with those burdens, that we're to consider the burden as from the Lord. You look at the words of the text. It says, cast thy burden upon the Lord. That word burden, it literally means a gift. If you have a Bible with a margin, you'll see an alternative reading. And the alternative reading to burden is gift, or that which he hath given thee. It's not an interesting thought. In some ways you might think it a strange thought. You can't reconcile the two, a burden being a gift. But I wonder, did you ever see that truth before? Did you ever see the burden in that light before? The reality is this, brethren and sisters, that trial, that disappointment, that loss, whatever it might be that you have sustained or experienced, that difficulty that you're facing, that trial and that challenge that you're passing through, the reality is this, his hand is in it. The Lord's hand. He is the one that has allowed it. He is the one that has permitted it. It's not fate. It's not bad luck. It's not a curse. In his great and infinite wisdom, it is something that the Lord himself has bestowed upon you. And to see it in that light, brethren and sisters, and that's the proper light for a Christian to look at it, that changes the situation completely. Now, I know that you will automatically ask the question, why? Why is that? Why would the Lord allow such things? Why would the Lord want me to have to carry such a heavy burden? Well, as you ask that question, let me remind you of this. The fact is, brethren and sisters, we don't have all the answers. All the answers to life's problems and to life's trials. We don't have all the answers in this life or in this world. The Lord doesn't always tell us the reason why. Remember, we're to walk by faith and not by sight. There is a better question for a Christian to ask than the question why. And that is the question, what? What is it, Lord, you want me to see? What is it that you want me to learn? What is it that you want me to do? What is it that you want me to understand as I pass through these difficult circumstances? But we're always tempted to ask the question, why? And the Lord doesn't always tell us. You remember the scriptures tell us in the book of Deuteronomy, the secret things belong unto the Lord our God. The truth is that people have secrets. You have secrets that no one else knows. Very few people know. Well, the same is true of the Lord. He has secrets that he hasn't made known, hasn't revealed to us. Do you remember as well, the word of God says, Paul writing to the Corinthian believers, now we see through a glass darkly. That's a description of what things is like for us now, at this time, in this world, and in this life. We see through a glass darkly. We don't have as clear a vision, as clear a focus of circumstances and events as we will have when we reach that other land. Do you remember the Saviour said what words they were? What I do, thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Three great truths in that statement. There's sovereignty. What I do. And there's times, brethren, that we just have to bow to the sovereign hand of God in the events of our lives. What I do, thou knowest not now. There's mystery. There are many things that happen to the Christian in this world that are shrouded and clouded in mystery. We don't know the reason. And we won't know this side of eternity. Isn't that what the final part of the verse teaches? Thou shalt know hereafter eternity. And what a blessing eternity is going to be. Mr. McRae used to sing that hymn, "We'll talk it over in the by and by. I'll ask the reason, and he'll tell me why, when we talk it over in the by and by." The old Puritans had a great way of summing up Bible truth. They used to say, we can't always trace the Lord. In other words, we can't always follow. Some of you remember the tracing paper, like the greaseproof paper you'd set down in an image and try and just trace it out with a pen or the pencil. Well, we can't always trace, can't always follow, can't always understand what the Lord is doing. But we can always trust him. I will trust in him. It's a message that was repeated in this psalm that we have read together. So I want you to see, as you ask today, why, Lord? Maybe that's the cry of your heart. You're crying out this morning from the depth of your soul, Lord, why? Why is it? Why have you allowed this? Well, I want you to see we don't have all the answers. Even as pastors and ministers, it's good to be able to acknowledge that we don't always know the reason why. I can suggest to you this morning some reasons why the Lord might give you a heavy burden. Maybe one has to do with your walk. Maybe it's true, there's a brother or a sister here, you're not walking as close to the Lord as you should. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. The Bible describes the Christian as sheep, and one of the characteristics of sheep every farmer will know is they wander away. And all too easily we wander away from the Lord. And the Lord wants to bring you back to himself, back into closer fellowship, that closer walk. And that burden that you're carrying, well, it's caused you to cast yourself upon the Lord, maybe in a way that you haven't done for a long time. Isn't that what David said? Before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now have I kept thy word. He was going away from the Lord. Wasn't walking as he should. But the affliction, the burden the Lord brought upon him, it brought him back again. Now, he says, have I kept thy word. Maybe that's true of you. You were going astray. And that's why the Lord has given you the burden. Mr. Spurgeon used to say that anything that causes the believer to pray more, it's not a burden. It's a blessing. And if the affliction or whatever challenge and trial you're passing through, if that has brought you back to the Lord and it has caused you to pray more than you've ever done for a long time, that's a blessing, brethren and sisters. A blessing from his hand. So maybe it's because of your walk the Lord has given you that burden. Another reason is to do with your worth. I had a younger brother that was disabled, born with muscular dystrophy. Died just before his 18th birthday, almost 30 years ago. Someone once told my mother, it might have been Professor Norman Nevin, so well known in past times in our province, a lovely Christian physician. He attended and helped my mother and my brother and my family so much. But someone once told my mother that the Lord only gave disabled children to special people. That's a very interesting thought. It'd be worthy of discussion and debate. You may or may not agree with it. But I know this, men and women. I know this for sure. The Lord only gives burdens to special people. You see that burden that you're carrying today? That indicates your worth. It indicates your value to the Lord. It's a very clear proof of how precious you are in his sight. Remember what we said a little earlier in the message? This burden that you're carrying, it's a gift. And it's good to view it like that as you study the verse and study the psalm. The Lord is like you and I. Who do you give gifts to? Who do you give gifts to at birthday time and Christmas? To those that are special and precious to you. And the Lord's exactly the same. He only gives his burdens. He only gives his gifts to those who are special to him. Why did the Lord allow the devil to afflict Job? The Bible says there was none like him. That was the Lord's very testimony of Job to the devil. There was none like him in the earth. So why did the Lord allow the devil to afflict Job? We can hardly but comprehend the burdens that he must have borne. Lost everything that he had in this world. All his wealth was gone. His family, 10 children taken from him just in one swipe. Why did the Lord allow that? Well, it was because Job was special. It was because the Lord could trust his servant in those circumstances and to carry that burden and still be faithful to him. Do you remember those lovely words in the New Testament? Whom the Lord loveth. Does the Lord love you today? Do you want an indication of the fact that he loves you? Well, whom the Lord loves, he chastens. And isn't that burden, that affliction, that trial, isn't that an indication of the chastening hand of God upon us as his people? And it is for you a very clear indication of his love. Whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. So those are some suggested reasons, your walk, your worth, of why the Lord might give you a burden. But remember this, brethren and sisters, whatever the reason the Lord has for it. Remember the great words of Romans 8. All things work together for good to them that love the Lord. Not just the good things. Not just the encouraging things. The times of blessing and the blessings the Lord bestows upon us. The reality is that all things, everything in your life, everything that crosses your path, every burden that the Lord ask you to bear in this world, it's for your good. It's as that verse says, all things work together for good to them that love the Lord, to them who are the called according to his purpose. So you can be sure today, whatever reason the Lord has, and he knows what's best, the judge of all the earth will do right. Whatever the reason the Lord has for doing it or for allowing it, it's for your good. And it is for his glory. Paul said, writing in 2 Corinthians, our light affliction. Isn't that interesting? We think the burden's heavy. He says it's light affliction. We think it's against us. It's not what old Jacob thought. What burdens he bore. The circumstances the Lord brought him through. Our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us. It's not against us. The Lord is not against us. The hand of God is not against you as his child. It's for you. It's working for you. A far more an exceeding and eternal weight. You need to contrast the beginning and the end of that verse. Our light affliction, exceeding an eternal weight of glory. Our light affliction is just but for a moment. It seems so long since that burden, that trial began. But viewed in the light of eternity. A far more an exceeding an eternal weight of glory. After the cross, there is the crown, brethren and sisters. So remember, as you think of the burden and how to cope with it, the first thing is to consider that burden as from the Lord. I want you to see as well, the psalm teaches that we're to cast the burden upon the Lord. That's the clear message of the text. Cast thy burden upon the Lord. As a child brought up on the farm, we had a lot of burdens to carry. Buckets and barrels and milk cans and bags and bales. All sorts of things. And as a child, there are many times those things were too heavy for me. We had to be out there in the yard. No such thing as sitting in the house when all the work was to be done. But there were times as a child I was beat. The burdens were too heavy. I needed help. I needed someone else to come and carry the burden for me. And more often than not, that person was my dad, my father, very strong man that he was. And there's a lesson in that illustration, men and women, and it's this. We can't, but he can. We can't carry the burdens of life ourselves, but our Heavenly Father can. And I want to point you to him this morning. Remember, he is the Almighty. just take a moment to comprehend that little word that was repeated in the Psalm, Selah. The idea is to pause. Times you need to stop and think just about what you're reading, what you're considering. Remember, he's the Almighty. He's the Lord God Omnipotent. The idea of that word omnipotent is there's no limits, and especially no limits to his power. There is a limit to what you can do, to what I can do, and maybe you're at your very limit this morning, man's extremity. Maybe that's where you find yourself. Well, remember, there's no limits to what God can do, no limits to his power. And the message of the psalmist is, take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. And that's what you need to do, brethren and sisters. Can I remind you, he is the great burden bearer. He bore my sin to his own body on the tree. He is the great burden bearer. He's the one that upholds all things. He's upholding this universe that he created. He upholds it every day by the word of his power. And what is my little burden in comparison to the universe and everything else that our Lord is upholding? Do you remember the words of Matthew 11, verse 28? Come unto me. Do you hear the invitation today? Come unto me, all ye that labour. And what's the end of the verse? And are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And brethren and sisters, that's a promise for the saint as well as for the sinner. And I urge you to claim it today. Believer, what you need to do is come to the Lord with your burden. Will you do that? Mr. Moody, if you read the sermon that R.A. Torrey preached on the life of D.L. Moody, why the Lord used him, the very first thing that he mentions is that because Mr. Moody was such a diligent student of the Word of God. There is a book that you can buy that is called Notes from the Bible of D.L. Moody. As he read and studied, he wrote little notes in the margin, and somebody got his Bible after he died and typed them out and put them into a book, and I have a copy of that book. Besides Psalm 55, verse 22, Moody wrote literally that word cast means to roll your burden on the Lord. Isn't that what you do when something is too heavy to lift, too heavy to hold, too heavy to carry? You roll it. You think of those days in the farm again. One of the jobs we were asked to do as children and young people growing up, especially in the springtime, was the gathering of the stones. Not a very pleasant job. The field had been ploughed and been made ready for the sowing of the seed. Sometimes the stones that the plough would pull up would be very big, too heavy to carry. Too heavy to carry where we wanted them to go. So what we would do was we would roll them. Roll them into the digger bucket. Roll them into the link box. Sometimes if my father wasn't looking, we would roll them into the shuck if it was a wee bit nearer. But burdens that are too heavy, you roll them. And that's the message of the psalm. Roll your burden. That heavy load that you're carrying, that burden that's crushing you down today, you're to roll that burden onto the Lord. How do you do that, you ask me this morning? Well, you do it simply in this way. You do it by prayer. You need to pray about the burdens and the trials and the afflictions of life. That is the reason, let me ask you to think of this. That's the reason why many Christians are always burdened. You ever met a brother or sister like that? Always burdened. Always weighed down. Do you know the reason for it is? They never pray about it. Never take it to the Lord. Don't come to the prayer meeting to cast their cares upon the Lord. Think of those words that we sang a little earlier. Are we weak and heavy laden? Does that describe you this morning, those familiar words? Do they come with freshness to your heart today because of your situation? Are we weak and heavy laden, cumbered with a load of care? Precious Saviour, still our refuge. Take it to the Lord in prayer. I encourage you to do that. You cast your burden upon the Lord. There's one other thing I'll mention as we deal with the burdens of life. And that is that we're to carry the burden with the Lord. Notice the end of the text. The end of the verse says, "He shall sustain thee." Isn't that interesting? The Lord doesn't say, look carefully at the verse. The Lord doesn't say he'll always take the burden away. I want you just to take that to heart. The Lord doesn't say he'll always take the burden away. Didn't Paul learn that? Prayed about his thorn in the flesh. He prayed about it persistently. Prayed about it three times. But the Lord didn't take away that thorn in the flesh. The Lord said, no, Paul. The answer the Lord gave to Paul was this: my grace is sufficient. My strength is made perfect in weakness. So the Lord doesn't always take the burden away. That's what we want. That's what we expect. That's what we long for. That's what we plead for in the place of prayer. But you learn here, there are times we still have to carry the burden. And maybe that's what the Lord wants you to learn today. Maybe that's what the Lord wants you to see and what he wants you to do. And if it is, brethren and sisters, there's no need to be afraid. And there's no need for fear. There's no need for despair. Because you won't have to do it on your own. You'll not have to do it in your own strength. You've tried that already. Maybe tried it several times and you've failed. Failed miserably. You notice what the text says. He will sustain thee. And isn't that what makes all the difference? All the difference in life, in every situation, is the Lord been there. And the Lord been there to help. He'll give you the strength. He'll give you the help. He'll give you the blessing and the guidance and the wisdom that you need, whatever the situation and whatever the future might hold. There is a great promise found in the prophecy of Isaiah 41 verse 10. Listen to it carefully. Fear thou not. Why should you not fear? For the Lord says, I am with thee. May you know his presence today in this meeting. And as you go from the house of God and as you face the future, whatever it holds, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. You see, the following part of the verse, I think it sums up all that we need at the time of trial. The Lord says, I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. You see the picture there? It's a someone that's carrying such a burden that they're almost ready to stumble and fall. But he says, I'm going to strengthen you. I'm going to come and help you. I'm going to help carry the burden too. And he says, I'm going to uphold you with the right hand, that almighty right hand of his righteousness. If you come to the house of God this Sabbath morning, the first day of the week, maybe ask him this question. How can I go on? Things are so bad. Things are so difficult. How can I go on? How can I face the future? How can I go to the hospital? How can I go through that surgery or that operation or that procedure? How can I face these circumstances? How can I handle the problems that are before me? Well, here's the answer. The Lord's going to strengthen you. And he's going to help you. And he's going to uphold you as well. The blessings that are given to the tribes of Israel, given twice in the Word of God, they were given by Jacob in the book of Genesis and then by Moses, the man of God, at the end of the book of Deuteronomy. The blessing that was given to Asher in the book of Deuteronomy by Moses says this. Part of it, of the blessing is, as thy days, so shall thy strength be. And the meaning, brethren and sisters, is this. God will give you the strength for whatever days you're passing through, for whatever burdens you have to carry. God will give you the strength to match the type of days that you're encountering. And God will give you the strength to bear the cross that you have to carry. He will give you the strength that you need. And I can even take that a step further. Because the Lord might even carry you as well. Henry Moorhouse was a great evangelist, a friend and contemporary of D.L. Moody. He moved in Plymouth Brethren circles. Henry Moorhouse had a little girl, Minnie, that was disabled. One evening he came home. He bought his wife a gift, nicely wrapped up, a lovely package. Little Minnie got excited when she saw the gift for her mommy. And she said, "Let me carry the gift up to mommy." And Henry looked down at his little girl. He said, "Minnie, you can't carry yourself. Mommy was upstairs in the bedroom. You can't carry yourself, Minnie, let alone carry this package." But she had it all worked out. She said, "Papa, you give me the package and I will carry it. And then you will carry me." And there's times, brethren and sisters, that's what happens in life. We carry the burdens. And then the Lord comes along and he carries us. Round about, underneath, bearing you up those everlasting arms. Here's a great promise. The Lord says, "And even to your old age," not tremendous, "to the very end of your days, even to your old age, I am he. And even to hoar's hairs," H-O-A-R, the old white, grey, hoary head, "even to hoar's hairs will I carry you. I have made and I will bear, even I will carry and will deliver you." What a promise that is. He says he'll carry you through the trials and through the troubles of life. You're familiar with that story, that poem, "The Footprints of Faith." The Christian at the end of their days looking back across the beach or the sands of life, and they were a little troubled when they saw certain times, the worst times in their life and in their experience, when there was only one set of footprints, and they mistakenly thought at those times the Lord had left them. But the Lord said, "No. What actually happened at those times was I came and I lifted you and I carried you through the trials. I carried you through the worst periods of your life." So the Lord carries us, brethren and sisters, and he will carry you as well. And I want you to be encouraged by that knowledge this morning. What to do with life's burdens? Consider it. See it as from the Lord. Cast that burden on the Lord. And then there's times as well we have to carry the burden, but we do it with the Lord, with his help and with his strength. Let me say this to you just as a finish this morning. The heaviest burden of all is the burden of sin. And maybe that's your burden today, because you're still out of Christ, still unsaved. Do you remember Pilgrim in John Bunyan's Great Allegory? The Pilgrim's Progress. He had a burden of sin, but when he got to the cross, the burden fell away. Fell into the grave and was buried. And at the close of this morning's service, if you're still out of Christ, I want to urge you today to get to the cross by faith. And I want to urge you, cast your burden. Cast the burden of your sin upon the Lord today and be saved. Remember the words of the great gospel hymn. We'll sing a verse or two of it as we close. Burdens are lifted at Calvary and Jesus is very near. Cast thy burden upon the Lord and he shall sustain thee. May the Lord bless his word to every heart.